Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
To the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and the only thing that I'm doing on this episode, other than editing it, is the intro, because Christy did not do the intro when she recorded with Lindsay. So I just want to say hi. Hi, all you beautiful people out there. I hope you're having a lovely week. Happy Wednesday. Enjoy this episode with Christy and Lindsay of Brick Venue in Dallas-Fort Worth. And I'll talk to you next week. Here you go.
Okay, I'm here with Lindsay Blau, owner, manager, main promoter, marketer, publicist, everything person for Brick Venue in Fort Worth. Actually, we're right by train tracks, so we might hear
maybe
there's a little chew-chewing over there.
Yeah, sometimes they'll blow their horn for us.
So Brick Venue is a freestanding wedding and events venue in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. We have had Trish Dove on the podcast before. I'll put that in the show notes, what her episode was, because she talked a lot about timelines and working here specifically.
Cool. Yay, Trish.
So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Michelle's not recording with me on this one, so it's just me here in Texas. But we have gotten a lot of feedback from our listeners, all of you out there, that you have a lot of questions about venue, like site visits specifically, and also the differences between a venue that includes everything and presents it all to you in like a shiny folder, that versus a hotel, which kind of is that, versus a freestanding events place like this that does weddings, but people can put their own spin on it. Then the last option being like your grandma's barn.
Right.
And we did a whole episode about that and how hard it is to do like a DIY kind of venue. So tell me a little bit about how you came to own what this building is and how you came to own it.
All right. So I have several years in just kind of the event industry. And I mean, I've kind of done a little bit of everything, but I knew I always wanted to own a venue. And so when I started, I basically had the vision for it and I knew kind of all the pieces that I wanted it to be. And then I went out and found that building. And so I was super lucky to
come across
Brick.
Did you want it in Fort Worth?
I did. Arlington? I wanted it in Fort Worth specifically and close to downtown. I mean, there's new venues popping up everywhere. And there are plenty of venues kind of outside the city limits. But I wanted something close to downtown, kind of urban. And I did want a kind of industrial warehouse vibe,
yes.
Which is so popular right now. But
kind of knew you were going to buy something and then make it.
Exactly. Okay. And a lot of people who open venues do the opposite. They have a space, they don't really know what to do with it, and they're like, oh, I'll open a wedding venue. I think one of the things that helped me a lot doing it the opposite way is that I could kind of make a list of my priorities beforehand and make sure I got that in whatever building I chose.
Which were what for this one?
For me, the big thing for me was to have two separate indoor spaces that I did not have to flip.
So she has two floors.
I have two floors. Reception on one floor, ceremony on the other. Of course, I keep it pretty flexible, so you don't have to do it that way. It's just I have a few people that want to do like dinner upstairs, and actually, it more comes along for people who want to get married like at a chapel or a church, and just need a reception venue. They'll use upstairs for like cocktail hour, or they'll do dinner on one floor and dancing on the other. But in Texas, it is so freaking hot right now. Like, nobody wants to do anything outside. So it was a big deal for me to have two separate indoor spaces. Location was big, being downtown. Capacity was a big thing. And all my research I did beforehand, a lot of the venues at the time kind of capped out at 200 guests.
Right.
And I knew there was kind of a niche there to go a little bit higher.
Right.
So 300 is my guest count, which is important. And then after that, I just wanted to keep it as open and versatile and flexible as possible for my clients, which I can't say that I'm all inclusive by any means, because I'm not. I've got a space and tables and chairs and bars. But after that, I just wanted whoever came in, planners or clients or whomever, to really have a space they can make their own.
So the look is like white painted brick, open rafters. You can see the piping on the ceiling. We'll include links to the site and I'll probably pull some pictures. But there is an outside element.
Right.
And that's what a lot of the photos show.
A lot of the photos do. So in all my research too, I had to have some kind of outside. Exactly. So we have a courtyard and a really cool funky back porch area that just came with this building. And then hopefully in another month, we'll add an additional outdoor space. But honestly, and we've talked about this before, most of the time my outdoor space gets used for photos.
Yeah.
And that is something that is a big deal that I didn't think about when I started.
Right. So you kind of lucked into it because it is a cool,
many places. And it works great for my photographers as well, because I like Trish and other ones that keep coming back here. They know the space and they know what they've already done. And she has yet to run out of ways to photograph it differently couple.
So there's some stairs. They can get on this roof if they want. And the back patio has like graffiti and cool industrial metal. You wouldn't want your kids to like just run amok out there.
Yeah.
But it's made for some really cool pictures. So how much work did you put into making it? Because we're sitting in the bridal suite right now. I say bridal suite, the wedding suite brick. And it's like, the pictures are online. It's funky and cool and really well styled and comfortable and well thought out for brides and grooms to get ready here. And there's two bathrooms. And so obviously it was a warehouse. You put a lot of
I put a lot of love into it. And honestly, a lot of the foundational stuff was kind of done before I got in. AC units, sprinkler systems, plumbing, the stuff that doesn't matter, but that costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Floors are original.
Floors
right?
are original. We just sanded and sealed the floors. We didn't have to paint the brick. It was all done. So most of the work I did were the drywalls and what's inside of them. So we had to update bathrooms, create a prep kitchen space, a groom's room, a bridal suite, and an office. That was kind of the bulk of it. The rest of it was just kind of the details that we added in, like the herringbone wood wall downstairs and chandeliers lighting, of course. And then the courtyard is totally new. It was absolutely nothing when I got it.
And then moving in, the furniture that's in the two suites and your office, but tables and chairs,
I did. So I have Shivari chairs, which are nice, and great and easy and selling point. But when I went and was researching tables, I thought, I mean, geez, for what I'm going to pay for just these ugly plastic tables, and then I'm going to have to find some kind of linen option for my clients because I want it to be easy as possible. I thought, man, I have a cousin, and he's a carpenter, and he's good at things. So I asked him to make custom farm tables, which I just thought added to the whole vibe of the building and the venue, but also just something cool that you can't get somewhere else.
Yes.
And they're a huge hit.
Yeah, practical and unique. They photograph really well. Styled shoots love them.
Mm-hmm.
And the couple can configure them any way they want.
Which is really kind of a fun thing, too, is that we have those farm tables, and then we have some round tables as well. And each wedding... I mean, we've had probably over 300 weddings at this point. I think every single one of them had a different layout.
Slightly
yeah. different, whether it's guest count or sweetheart table versus head table or something. Every one of them's been a little bit different. So it's always a fun part of the process for us is their layouts and how to configure everything and make it interesting and different. And also just get everything into the space that they want.
So you haven't, no one's ever brought in tables because.
No one's brought in tables.
Because the wedding I did here was almost max. And they used, I think, all of your farm tables and then supplemented with some round. And then put linens on those. And it looked cool with linens on just a few and then all of the exposed wood.
And I think since then we've added more tables.
I can't imagine anyone throwing linen all over that wood. Have people done that just really wanted?
I've had one wedding actually recently that did it. And I've had some people just linen the head table.
Yeah. I think they did that.
But that's about it. Most people just
leave them.
They look nice. And then you can use that linen budget somewhere else in your budget. So
for those of you who've listened before, we've talked about venues like this a lot because they're that sweet spot of the halfway. Like, yes, Lindsay's venue is made for weddings. So when it comes to like load in and trash rules and policies, like everything makes sense. We're not just making it up as we go, but you still bring in your own caterer and your own vendors. They have a kitchen here, but it's called a prep kitchen that is not full. Mm-mm. You know, caterers bring it in like hot plates and stuff and set it up. And there's a big table in there and there's a fridge for the cake and stuff. And it makes it easy. But that's the kind of venue we're talking about. So you rent brick for 10 hours.
13
hours. Mm-hmm. So that's the contract. You can get ready here. You can, at 13 hours, that's when everybody has to go, including all the vendors. Mm-hmm. Strike included.
Strike everything.
Okay. So that's pretty, I mean, that's more hours than most venues give you.
I was tired of fighting it. We started with 10 hours, and it was just where people were, can we get in earlier?
Can we just drop this off?
And then it was just like, you know what, screw it. 13 hours is more than enough time.
Yeah.
It gives me enough time to do any tours or meetings that I need to do in the morning before people come in. And then my brides aren't stressed. My vendors aren't stressed. And I mean, what does it cost me? 3 hours of time?
You're not going to book another wedding anyway.
I do one wedding a day.
Yeah.
Period. So
that's something to think about, y'all, when you're booking venues, especially ones that are even more inclusive, but the kind that are like, have lighting packet, everything. You can get your gobos and we'll roll out this carpet down the aisle in our little chapel. Places I'm thinking of some that I can think off the top of my head here in North Texas, but it's a 5 hour block.
That's it.
Yeah. 5 or 6 maybe, because they want a morning wedding and an evening wedding. And that is not a relaxing, like take over the venue kind of wedding day. That's a arrive in your dress, walk down the aisle, bang out a 3 hour reception and have an hour for your vendors to scramble to get out, which is why they want you to use very specific vendors. Mm-hmm. So with brick, you have a preferred vendor list, and I think this is pretty common.
I say preferred very loosely. We're completely open vendor.
Oh, you are? Okay.
We are. You can bring in whomever you like as long as they have insurance, right? They have to be a professional. Your Uncle Joe can't bring his barbecue pit and cook wings for everybody.
But not even my uncle?
Maybe your uncle.
Okay. Just like, because everyone's going to ask that. They'll be like, but... Yeah, there's always a qualifier.
Insurance just kind of keeps that out. But honestly, it's a win-win for me.
Letting them bring any.
It really is. I get to meet awesome vendors that I might not have met otherwise. If I'm worried about a bad vendor coming through and Brick getting a bad rep because of it, I'm not worried about that, really, honestly. But also, so many of my brides ask for my recommendations anyway.
Yeah.
That, you know, having a preferred list, it doesn't matter if I list everybody in North Texas.
They're still
to them, they feel like I'm saying no to somebody.
Yeah.
That they might want. And I just don't
have time for that. Have you had any nightmares?
Not yet. I mean, I've had people that I
would prefer maybe not to work with again.
Maybe not come back. But yeah. I mean, nobody where I'm like, no, they're on the X list. Right. They're not coming. No.
Yeah. I mean,
and even then, it's not my, I mean,
that's
it's their day.
Yeah.
It's
that's
not
how
mine.
I feel.
I don't,
as long as no one like damaged your shit
right.
or was like
yeah.
disrespectful.
Right. I mean, and what's going to happen to me? I get a bad review on Google and I say, well, you know what? It was the couple's wedding.
Yeah.
I didn't hire them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I'm hired for month of a lot, and that mm-hmm. is a similar, like, it's a, especially when I first moved here, it was such a great way for me to be like, oh, you have all your vendors? Great. Now I can call and introduce myself, because it seemed a little weird for me to be referring vendors when I just started my business here. Like,
right.
I can Google them. You can Google them. Like, wouldn't it be better if you found them by yourself? But even when I don't like them maybe personally, or our work style is a little off,
different. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say to another couple, unless directly asked, do you like this DJ, DJ A or DJ B? If I'd had a bad experience with DJ A, I might say, I would love to work with DJ B. But if they came to me and said, these are our vendors.
I mean, you just smile
yes,
and you make
like
it work.
Yes, it's like your wedding. Just like if
it's
they say
not
we
my
want
day.
Burlap and mason jars everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
It's
beautiful.
I'm always like, great.
Might not make it on my Instagram, but
great.
It's not my day.
Yeah.
So it's your day. And that was really a big thing for me is, I mean, man, use the space how you want to use it. Here's what I have.
Why do you think people choose Brick over... Like when you're giving a site visit,
mm-hmm.
why do people end up signing?
Booking. I think a lot of it is really two things. I try to say no as little as possible and give them plenty of options. And a lot of people, that's a little too overwhelming. You mean I can use whoever I want? That's too much.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, start here. Here's a list of my faves.
Yeah.
You know, stalk them on Instagram and social media and whatever. But also I think I really am conscious of all the yeah, buts, you know, Brick is great. Yeah. But whatever they have to say. So I really try to think through all the things, all the cons that they might come up with my venue and have an answer for that when it's brought up.
Yeah.
And it's usually a dad
yeah.
who has to write the check. He wants to find something wrong so he can maybe ask for a discount, which I get it. Cool. So I just try to have all those answers. And a lot of times, you know, the people on the tour will come back and say, well, you've thought of everything.
Right.
Yeah. No, I
yes.
have. I've tried to think of every little thing that you might have a yeah, but for
yeah.
so that I have an answer for it. I mean, and there's a limit to it, of course.
But I think being organized and responsible and responsive is a big reason why somebody might book. Because we hear from brides, and I've worked with clients before that are like, I really like this or this, but they just never emailed me back. Or their contract was like one page full of like, it didn't even have like their address on it or some red flag where you're just like, this is a business. So run it like a business.
Like a business. And I mean, what I'm hoping for is that each one of my couples feels like they're the only wedding that I've had at Brick all year long. I mean, that's what I'm going for. Now, granted, they might be one of three that weekend, but they're not. I want them to feel like they're the only couple that I've had all year long.
If they have a question 6 months
out,
we're
on
it. Answer it.
So kind of how we're set up here is I usually give the tours. I pitch the space. I send contracts. I send invoices. I answer questions. And then I hand it off to one of my team members. And they are like their right-hand man for anything venue. They'll tell them about upcoming events, open houses, any questions they have, layouts.
Yeah.
You want to come back to the venue, come back as many times as you want.
Bring your grandma. Bring your grandma. Bring your bridesmaid
that just flew in from New York to come see it. I mean, whatever it is.
So again, with saying come back. Yes.
Mm-hmm. As much as possible. And you know, it's within reason, of course. Because I've also learned, you know, give an inch, they take a mile. So kind of that happy medium, but we try to accommodate anything that you want so that you have a good vibe. Because if you don't leave at the end of your day having a good vibe about your wedding day, I mean, that sucks.
Yeah. And this is the biggest and usually the first decision, or at least we encourage it to be.
It is.
Because it informs so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to see if you had if you could tell couples what to know or what to ask about or how to come prepared to
for a tour?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like, we just got engaged and we're going to see 5 things while we're together this weekend. We're going to see 5 venues in Fort Worth and you're maybe the first one. Like, what notes should they have, or at least what should they have looked at?
I think a lot of it is the research before the legwork, right? So the big three that I always want to know before you come tour me is, what's your date? Are you set on a date? Are you open? Are you flexible? What month then? So I at least know I have something for you.
So an ideal couple would know their date.
Know their date, or at least the month. Okay. I love flexible couples. That's great. I could find a date for you.
October
2020. We are open. Though I've already gotten requests for 2020. It's nuts. October is a big month, but if you're flexible in October, great. I'll find a date for you. If you need October 19th, 2019, it is booked. And if you are not flexible to look at the Friday then before that, then don't come.
Okay. Got it.
I can't help you.
Yes. So that's idea of date and idea of
price.
Yeah.
And then, capacity.
Okay, so those are the three.
Those are the three big ones
that they need to know coming in, or at least be pretty narrowed down on. Is there anything that you're impressed when somebody asks you the question, "Oh, look at you, prepared person"?
I mean, there's some nitty gritty stuff that some people really are prepped for. Is a rehearsal time included? That seems to be one that they miss.
Can we do our engagement photos
here? Are there any requirements for off-duty officers or valet? Sometimes that comes with experience from or touring fire. Other venues when they are we have to do valet and we didn't know that. I think probably one of the most common questions I get is that the real price, or what else do I have to purchase?
And I'm there with them as a planner. Totally. I'm is that what they quoted you? Make sure you find out if there's a plus, blah, 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 which is usually with catering or anything that requires staffing and stuff. But your answer is
I don't have time for that.
Pretty transparent.
I really, really don't. I don't have time for that. And some venues do, and kudos.
Yeah.
And I guess I understand that. I think maybe it's a sales technique where you say the venue is only $4,000 for Saturday, and then you don't tell them till they get there that it's $5 a table and $2 a chair, and use our caterer, and it's $20,000 minimum.
This is the stuff you guys need to think about when it seems too good to be true, or it's like these two venues seem the same. One's $8,000 and one's $4,000. What gives?
And I do that a lot. So
it's what's included?
It's one of the things when I am someone's first venue. I mean, even if I love them and I want to book them, I tell them, I have your date. I would love, love to book you, but you need to go look at other venues because I want you to feel good about your choice. Because if I'm not your choice, that's okay. I'll have another couple wanting that date.
Yeah.
That's cool. But before you
book, don't want someone to book you
and then cancel, regret it. Right. So go check out another venue, especially if they're kind of iffy on my price. Because my Saturday right now is $8,500. But you get tables and chairs. We set that up for you. 13 hours, which is huge. Open vendor, which I think is a perk.
Yeah.
And then we also clean up.
And it has all the things that make brick. It has the flexibility outside.
But
if I were showing couples here, which I have before, I would want them to see the tables and chairs, like actual, if they're put away or stacked, I'd grab a couple. I'd want them to see where they're getting ready. I'd walk them into the guest bathrooms to be this is what you have. I mean, it, for 300, it, you know, you might, if you have the top, top capacity of a venue, it might help to look at how many actual toilets they have, just in case you're a little.
We are right on the edge.
Yeah, and it totally works. Right
on the edge. It works, but if I had one less toilet, it would not work in here.
Right, and that's something, just something to think about. And then looking at parking, like she said, valet, can people park themselves? Driving here, does Uber come here? Do I have service on my cell phone? Like, what?
Right.
What Wi-Fi. If we're all out here at 11 o'clock and we don't have any service
and
to
get
Uber?
And that was one of the really big reasons why I wanted to be near downtown or the heart of the city and didn't really even consider any venue outside, because I don't want to answer the question,
how do we get all our drunk
friends? How do we get
back?
Our drunk friends home?
Yeah, it's 5 minutes from here
it's
to a
nothing.
Hotel.
It's a like $8 Uber ride. Yeah. It's nothing. And it helps with so many things with the venue anyway. Yes, we have parking. I've never had a problem with parking, but an Uber is less than $10.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So that would be something I would definitely walk my clients through, knowing that like I'm not selling Lindsay's space as a planner. We might be seeing five in a day, but those would be things I'd want to see at all of them. It's just like when you hunt for your house or anything, you should have a checklist that applies to every venue you're seeing. And part of the checklist that is not, you can't really put into writing sometimes, is just how a venue makes you feel.
Just the vibe.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot. And I'm
and what kind
not
of pictures
trying to,
you
it's
can
not
get
like
there.
A humble brag or anything, but I get a lot of people that say, you know, I liked other venues as much, if not more than you, but you were just so nice and so helpful. Like, we want to work with you. I think that is, I mean, that's the biggest compliment I can get.
It doesn't have, I mean, like, sometimes we turn our noses up at places and we don't even really know why. It's like, oh, I don't know. I just smelled a little funny, or I just got like a weird, meh.
Yeah.
And you can't put your finger on it, but like, that's a little voice that you should listen to. It's your wedding day.
Right. And I get just as many people that are like, oh, it's kind of tucked back here. Is the neighborhood safe? Yeah, the neighborhood's fine. Totally safe.
Yeah.
But if you are uncomfortable, it is okay.
Yeah.
It is okay.
Let me ask you this, because these are clients that might see your venue as like, this is a perfect place for us. But do couples ever walk in and you feel like, this is a couple I want to work with?
Yeah.
Like, what makes couple?
Yeah. Honestly, like, I love when my couples show up with a planner.
Okay, so that helps everyone.
Huge. I mean, Christy's great.
You can kind of cut
come
to
back
the
whenever
chase
you want,
a little bit.
But it is like, oh my gosh, like, let's talk about, you just cut my worries in half.
Yeah.
I know that you have a budget and you're smart enough to get a planner ahead of time. I know that this planner is going to take care of me just as much as they're going to take care of you.
Yes.
It is huge.
It feels like you're
you
in
have
good
a planner,
hands.
I don't have to worry about half the things that I have to worry about.
Even the tour.
Especially if it's a planner who's already been here. I'll even say, do you want to walk them through? You want me to walk them through, or we can tag team this, whatever.
Yeah.
So I love that. And then, you know, I like all my couples. I don't really have anybody that I'm like, oh man, I hope they don't book.
It's just, you probably know
but
red
I
flags
like
when
the
they
ones,
come in and you
right.
can tell they're just
and of course,
taste
like
testing
cute couples are always fun where you know they're going to have a cool style that they've not done it, you haven't seen at your venue every single weekend.
Let me ask you this, because I think with photographers that definitely matters, the look of the couple.
It does.
Like, it helps if you're not necessarily attractive, but like confident, fun, and have really good style or like
a
unique
kind
of look.
Idea, like you take, I love when the clients look at this space, and I say this, you can use it however you want, and they really try to use it in a way that hasn't been used before. I am on board for that.
Yeah. Because you want to kind of see what
I
want to
do. Like, you probably have thought of something that I haven't even considered yet, which would be super cool. But if you have a planner, let's do this.
There we go.
I'll book you.
Okay, guys, this is where we talk about a very exciting event that we're going to be attending. Christy and I together,
face to face, in the flesh.
We're going to even like be able to hold hands and hug.
So much hand holding.
Give kisses, drink alcohol together. It is the Modern Love Event. Go to modernloveevent.com and you're going to see just when you get to that page why we are going to this event. It is like no other wedding showcase you've been to before, okay? It's not one of those big, crazy wedding expos
with folding tables and pop-up backdrops.
It is inspiring. It is the anti-booth, no folding tables, like taking Pinterest and bringing it to life. Interactive, highly designed, friendly people. They're pushing the limits. They're breaking out of basic, and we are all about it.
And we are going to be there in a fun lounge area ourselves. We're going to be answering people's questions, recording live. We're going to do a little, not a presentation show, like we'll be on stage talking to the people.
We're going to have fun with it.
We'll collect questions from all of you listeners ahead of time, too, so we know we have some great stuff to talk about. And then we can't wait to bring back all this content and record from Nashville. December 2nd is the actual event day.
It's a Sunday, December 2nd.
At the Cordell, which is a gorgeous hotel venue there. We're going to be in a hotel room, we think, so we can do some recording. Hotel room maybe. Recording? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe hotel room recording. So that's the most fun, is the hotel room recording.
We would love to see any of our listeners there. If you are in town, able to drive there, make a Southern road trip out of it. We would love, love, love to see you. And let us know via email ahead of time if you're going to make it on December 2nd in Nashville.
Sunday, December 2nd, 3 to 6 p.m. Go to modernloveevent.com. Click on tickets, and there is a discount code for you, 50% off tickets. That code is Big Wedding, all one word, Big Wedding, modernloveevent.com. We hope to see you there. Let us know if we will. All right, here we go.
So let me, okay, so if I think, as a planner, I would tell my clients or people that haven't hired me that vendor responsiveness and professionalism and like tight contracts, that does matter. That could be the deciding factor between a person you hire and a person you don't hire, equally talented. Does politeness and like general just being a nice person, does that matter when they walk into you?
You mean or them being nice to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the opposite totally of a red flag. Does. It's like a little green flag.
It totally
flag.
Does. And to be totally honest, I think it's true for every vendor. It's especially true for me. If you're sweet and fun and cool, I am going to want to give you whatever you want.
There it is, everyone.
I will give
That's
you
gonna
whatever
you want. That's going to be the quote for the episode. Because nice, being nice matters.
It matters.
And walking in and like being a cocky asshole or like not looking a vendor in the eye or... I don't know. There's some little things. People that can be off-putting.
And I've had people that walk through and I just know immediately this person, their job is to find what's wrong with my space.
Oh,
and
good cop, bad
I'm
cop.
Immediately like, okay, fine. I'm not given an inch. And there's some things I'll give inches on.
Yeah.
And there's some things I'm like, yeah, no, right. No.
But
no.
It would have, I mean, it's...
I might have, but not anymore.
Right. So everything is in presentation.
I mean, I don't say that, but I mean,
of course,
yeah,
that, I mean, that I is natural. I just wanted to hear an owner say it on the podcast that being nice and walking in and being polite and respectful actually does matter. And it could financially help you. Like, just do it. Be a nice person.
Be a nice person. And, you know, the other side of that is... I make exceptions for you.
Right.
But, you know, for venues specifically, one of just my pet peeves on a tour is I know you have questions and I probably know what those questions are. And 100% of the time, I'm going to answer them on the tour. So save your questions to the end.
Oh,
if I can give any advice on the tour.
So they might have some questions jotted down.
Yes, or they come in with their notebook and their 50 questions because their best friend got married last year and she gave them this list and whatever.
Yes, yes.
Which is great. Questions are fun. It's like a pop quiz for me. And I got to know them. And I love it. But a lot of times it's kind of frustrating if you're jumping the gun on my tour. I know how to show the space. I know the flow of the space. I know what questions you're going to have when, and I'm going to answer them. But like, you know, here, my reception's downstairs, my ceremony's upstairs. you come in, we meet, and the first question is, where's the ceremony? Can
where's
we go
altar?
See the ceremony yeah. space? And I'm like, well, let me show you this floor first. Well, how many people can you hold upstairs? Where's the bridal suite? Okay, I will get there and I'll answer all those yeah. questions. Just let's do one part at a time and let me flow through this. And then at the end, I can answer all
right.
your
questions.
So questions
are good, but maybe we don't need to be redundant.
Right, unless it's about what I'm talking about. Like if we're in one of the dressing rooms and you ask,
does the bathtub actually work?
Right. And I can say, nope, sorry. You can put champagne on ice, but it just drains.
You can take a picture in it.
Right. But
can you take a picture in it?
Yeah. Okay. I've had lots of people take pictures of it. Just ADA won't let me hook it up. So as you go, absolutely. But kind of jumping the gun is a little bit frustrating. And so what I've just started doing is like, let's just answer all your questions first.
Oh, okay.
And then they're like, well, I want to see the space. Okay, well, then let's answer them at the end.
Got it.
It's just a little kind of
and do you
tweaky
give,
thing. It's not that big of a deal, but.
Well, that's what we want to hear, though, because it's like this. We're talking to the owner of the venue. Sometimes you might go to venues and it's
a manager.
Or an hourly person that comes on Sundays to show it because no one else wants to work on Sundays and might say, like, I don't know the answer to that. Let me check and get back to you. So the next part after a site visit is some sort of follow up, whether you go home with a folder of material from the venue or you get an email. So how do you follow up with like a good lead?
Well, I think probably at the end of my tour, we've seen the whole space. I've got photo albums of the space decorated, which your wedding's in there.
Yes. And that's really helpful to see other weddings in the space, many other weddings.
Some people have a vision and some people have to see it done.
Yeah.
And I can't have my venue decorated. I don't have time for that or the resources. But they flip through, they see other people, they get
see
ideas.
How hot pink worked in the room or like, oh, shabby chic
does work.
It does work.
Or we can do modern or we can do dark and stormy or we can do light and airy. And I mean, the amount of people that take photos of the photos is kind of silly.
I know
it's on Pinterest, y'all. But,
so you see the photo albums, you also
you
send
the
them
albums,
to a Pinterest page, same
and then
photos.
I do.
Okay.
And then I go over and have just a envelope of, you know, my material that has all the pricing, all the inclusions. If there are any fun little add-ons, I have them on there. And then my frequently asked questions. So they have everything they need in this package.
Actual hard copy.
Hard copy. Take home with you. It's almost the same information that you get when you just send an inquiry in. So it's just the information again. And I put mine, honestly, in a brown paper envelope. And I make stamp and wax and it looks cool. But I write all over that thing. I want, you know, what dates are you looking at? I write them down. You want recommendations,
I write it down.
Yeah,
the personal stuff.
Anything, you know, I'll write my personal cell phone on there, text me when you go home.
Your
and I almost
favorite
always,
florist who loves succulents.
Yes, boom. I put it all on there. And they take that home. I also give them a little package, the wedding planner package thing of just some of my favorite planners that, you know, give brides discounts, which you're on there too.
Man, I don't think I gave you enough. I thought you weren't giving those
I'm
out.
I'm giving them out.
I thought you were like,
no, you're still
them
in. I'll tell you when I'm out. So no, I'm handing them out, like go through, check out. I try to give them hard copies of the information. It seems to be what they want more than an email.
Yeah. Well, you kind of glossed over it, but you said it's pretty much the same information that shoots right back when they inquire initially online. So that's really important, y'all. When you like come to the site visit, like she said, you need to sort of know your date, hopefully, your budget, and your capacity, your guest count. But look at all the material that the venue has already sent you or that they have online so that a lot of your
questions.
You're just prepared. We've talked about this with any vendor meeting.
It's fine. There's a lot of questions that you just have some kind of checklist to go over, which is totally cool. And we try to address those in the material. And sometimes I'll just say, everything you need is right in here.
Yeah.
And they've got it. The other thing that I do, which again, I think just goes a step further for my venue and that kind of customer service aspect of it is I will give you a number to text me, you know, and I will also hold a date for you for a week.
A week. Okay.
Which not all venues do that. I do that because I hate it when, you know, 2 days later, the couple calls me up and ready to book and I book the date from out from under them with no warning.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
So it means if I want to hold October 20th.
I'll hold it for you for a week.
Do you call me the day before?
Nope, it's totally up to you.
Got it.
You have a week. And if you don't, I don't have time to go back and
right.
follow
it's
up
a courtesy,
with everybody. It's a courtesy
7 days
on you.
If, what if somebody else does want to book during
I
that
do
time?
Call you call. And I say, hey, look, somebody is like ready to put the money down.
You have
you
first
need to
dibs.
Make a decision. I need you have like 24 hours to make a decision
okay.
or I'm going to give it to them. And I've had to do that like twice.
Yeah.
But when you want to get married on the Sunday before Labor Day, it's a big one.
Right. I think that was my wedding day.
It's a good one.
09.
It's a good one. And venues aren't stupid. Like we know, I mean, we know the
you
dates.
You can forecast a little bit.
Right.
On like,
do I get a discount for a Sunday wedding? Well, yeah, Sundays are cheaper, but not if it's the day before Memorial Day.
A 3-day
I'm not
weekend
stupid.
Sunday. Yeah. Sorry. They're going to like, pull
want,
a fast
right,
one on you.
We want to have a vacation too.
We had a question recently about someone wanting to like, how can we book a venue when we haven't tasted the food yet? That wouldn't apply to you because it, mm-hmm. but I mentioned open house. Like some caterers will right. have like a giant annual or biannual open house where they like feature most of their food. So venues too do that.
We
like
do
you said, you can't
house.
Have it decorated all the time.
Right now.
So what is your open house? Why is it useful? Why do people love it? What have you learned?
Honestly, from a venue standpoint, it's not about me. It really doesn't get me any more or more clients than what I would have already gotten already.
Are the people that come here, have they already signed?
I would say probably 80% are already my clients,
okay.
already brick couples.
Coming to,
one to see the space or because I have free booze or...
Yeah. And it's sort of like feels a little exclusive.
Right.
Like, we're
it feels
brick bride.
Like I want to be in here when other people are in here to see what the vibe is like.
And then you call in
and then
vendors?
A lot of my vendors,
okay.
they are looking for a particular vendor. And some open houses don't have anybody. Some have a lot. We average about 200 people for our open house, which is great. I'm thrilled with. But I am vendor conscious too. And it's one of the things I thought about when I started. Is my load in easy? You know,
your
will my
door's
caterers,
big enough.
Right? Are my caterers happy with this prep space? Are, you know, man, I had to put in an elevator. I wasn't going to, but I had to. Because again, I don't want anybody saying brick is great, but
yeah.
they don't have an elevator. And you have to carry, you know, whatever. So open houses are great to see the venue like in action and full. Does the AC work? Does
the
heater work? What's
the
lighting
down?
And then to meet vendors. I think my next one, I kind of want to be a little more educational with it. Like bring your questions. Let's let some professionals answer those questions that you have on top of see the space done up.
Yeah. Almost like a, speakers,
like
of.
A yeah, I don't know, question, yeah,
Q&A,
something like that.
A mic,
Q&A,
have your attention.
/ open
interesting.
House. Interesting, because I think my clients would like that a little more, and I think my vendors would like it because it's not an awkward. Here's my table set up. Do you want to talk to me? Should I talk to you? I'm pushing sales. Do you
yeah.
need you know that kind of awkwardness?
Yeah, it is a little.
It's a little awkward. I don't like doing open houses as a vendor.
I only like doing them at a venue. I wouldn't do bridal shows.
I don't either. No. I did one my first year and that was enough for me.
I think they're horrible.
I hated it.
And I actually think and I'm speaking to those of you who are not vendors and who are our listeners who might be thinking of going to one. I don't think I think it's a lose-lose. I don't think it's a win for anybody except the people that are producing the bridal show. Truly.
I mean,
with the exception of like the super angled focused ones, like the ones that are stylistically and they've popped up. I've seen them in like Southern California and I did one in San Francisco. And you hear about like cool cities that embrace this experience as like a, I don't know, something specific, like the Anthropology bride or whatever. That's what,
okay.
If you would like travel 2 hours to go to the show because you think it's going to speak to your sense of like
style.
Personal style
vibe.
So
yeah.
much, then you might come away with some kick-ass vendors that already do what you
are
want.
Wanting.
Outside of that, which is a niche bridal show, any of the like big ones or you know, my big fake wedding or those, like,
I just can't do
it. People pay so much money. Vendors pay so much money to be a part of that. So just keep that in mind. We're paying
to be a part of it. And
in hopes that we get some business.
It's just not my jam. You have, as a vendor, you have to stand up. Not that standing up is hard, but you have to like jump on every couple that walks by. Yeah. Do you have a venue? Do you have a venue? Right. Have you booked your venue yet? And I just don't. I know, it's
hard. It's hard to,
if you don't want me, I don't want you.
Push ourselves.
I worked one and I tried to do that because I was just starting and I was watching what other people were doing. And I booked some brides, but it was, nah. And then I had signed up for the second one. So I did this. The second one, I sat at my table and I had a poster and a book and I just waited.
Yeah. Hi, I'm here.
Hi, I'm here. What do you do? I'm Brick Venue. Are you looking? If you come and talk to me, I'll talk to you, but I'm not going to. And the brides don't like, I know. I mean, the couples, none of them are like, yeah. I don't want to talk to you.
I know.
I
wanted
to,
it's very,
it's just
odd.
Sticky. It's very car salesman-y.
Yes.
Not my jam.
Bridal shows. That's what we're talking about. Open houses are when different. A venue or a caterer or a small co-op of vendors might have an open house where it's welcoming people to your space. Most of the vendors here are your friends and
frienders.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I had two more questions.
And it's a total win for me because it's something I can give back to my clients, right? Because it's kind of hard to get. I mean, a bottle of champagne is nice, but
yeah.
Let me give you something you can actually use, like tools you can use. And then, I mean, it's a win for me because if they book any of the vendors I have here, then my vendors want to come back to my open house. And then I know that my clients have good vendors.
Yes.
So
we do like working with.
We like working with certain people.
Yeah, our team, because you know you have there's a shorthand in how you communicate. And for venue owners like Lindsay and for me, it also means that we're going to get our hands on some photos afterwards.
Right.
Because
and it's all about the photos.
Yeah, afterwards.
Be real. And photos are it's a huge thing. I would say it's one of the perks you brought up about Brick is there's so many places to take photos.
Like corners and nooks and crannies that are just cool. And I was going to ask you because let's say we're talking to people who are looking at venues like this that could be all over the gamut stylistically, but what have you, you guys are going to have to bring in chairs, tables, linens, vases, flowers for most venues. Here you don't have to bring in tables and chairs and that's great. But what have you seen couples bring in that was cool? Like cool and different where you were like, what? That is awesome. I want all my weddings to have that.
I want an installation hanging from the ceiling every wedding I have.
Yes. I love hanging stuff as well.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Beyond the like wrought iron chandeliers she already has. She's talking about like giant floral halos.
Right. The Edison bulbs are real popular right now, especially in this type of venue. I mean, I've had people just put greenery and floral in my chandeliers, which is really pretty. But any kind of major installation that's over the tables or over the dance floor instead of on the tables, I think is just so, so cool and so different. I haven't seen anybody do any draping in my venue yet, which I think would be so cool and easy to do. It's just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't need it.
It doesn't
to
need
hide
it.
Anything. So that helps. But,
so
but you I mean just, like from the ceiling. Like
yes.
Cool.
Just kind of installations from the ceiling down are just... I love it when people do that.
I do too.
And it's one of the things.
The photos look really cool.
I have photos in my photo albums that people look through. There are just like three that people comment on every time and it's an installation.
Yeah.
I just think it's
worth
it.
And they're not as, I mean like it's not as cost prohibitive as you think.
It's really not.
We did an 8-foot.
You did a huge ring.
Yeah, 8-foot, but just greenery. And it was as much as two large centerpieces. I mean, it's
not bad.
It's not. For the impact, and we only did one. So her space holds three. We had 300 guests, packed.
We did pack
reception, and it's a big floor, big wide ceiling, and we only did one 8-foot hoop, and it hung right over the dance floor. So it was in all the pictures.
Awesome,
but it wasn't that expensive for how much attention it got.
It's a bang for your buck, for sure. So I just think it's such a dramatic change that it's worth it.
I think so too. Especially
and
with the white
balls. I see them overhead tables, and I see them over dance floors. And I mean, I've had even people who just hang everything. I had one wedding, a very DIY wedding, that legit just hung potted plants on kind of like a macrame thing from this, and like lined up the tables over.
It looks cool, right?
Pots hanging. It was so cool.
That sounds like it would
and
be
it
cool.
I mean, that was kind of it. Candles on the table and done.
Yeah.
So think, I like
think
anything.
In terms of like dimension when you're looking at a room, you guys, because it does make it memorable and cool, and it's not mm-hmm. that much more than just classic flowers on tables.
Right.
We did a step and repeat here instead of like a classic photo booth. Actually, they brought it from their rehearsal dinner. I didn't even know they were just like, we brought this last night. One of their moms made. So a step and repeat is like those backdrops that people stand in front of, like on red carpets.
Right. That has a logo on the
back.
Yeah.
It was from corporate. So it had like the bride's names on it.
And wedding date. Yeah.
But then of course, since it was just there, people started doing their own little DIY photo booth in front of it. And then the photographer, Trish, like snapped a couple awesome, I think she did it for like 20 minutes.
Right. And it's one of the things that gets commented on because that wedding's in the photo book, obviously. Yeah. And the installation you did is in there, and the step and repeat is in there. And both those things get commented on
that
almost every time.
That background cost $100, you guys.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was from, jeez. I mean, it was literally like the like thick cardstock from Kinko's. And the mom that made it she's not a graphic. Basically, she was like, here's a thing I did. Can you just print it all over this background? So it was a little hard to transport because I had to like fold it in the middle. But it was 8 feet tall. And it's that kind of stuff that I think it's little things. Like, we had no idea they were going to just roll that through the front door, but it ended up being cool. So if you do bring in things to install, just put them in places that have a lot of photos taken. Around the cake, around the head table, and around the dance floor. What about this place? I think this place lends itself to art. And like
people haven't done that very much.
They haven't brought in like giant.
They haven't brought in a whole lot of like big art to hang on the wall.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. I mean, they'll tape or whatever greenery up on the wall.
Yeah.
I've had that. Like
so somebody
a couple
needs
weddings
to do
just
that.
Like Jumanji happen and there's greenery everywhere. But no, somebody needs to do that. I think it would be cool.
What about on altar pieces? Because your
altar pieces are like, it's different every
weekend.
That's
the creative.
That is where people get super creative. And I like that they can keep it very simple and it still be beautiful. But that is just one of the places where people do something. They bring in doors or, you know, big ceremony or rent. I mean, so many of those specialty rental companies have really cool different backgrounds. You know, we've had a mantle, we've had different arches,
flowers, of course, pedestals, console tables,
candelabras,
draping,
yes. Just same kind of floral installation, just a bar full of floral hanging down is so pretty.
Yeah. And with that, I think also when you're looking at spaces like this where there is a set ceremony and reception space, anything you can reuse from ceremony
downstairs.
Yeah. Nobody minds. I've carried like,
nobody cares. Nobody
carried
knows
massive arrangements and been like, excuse me, going down those stairs, put them behind the head table.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No one's like,
no one cares.
What is she doing? So it matters if you're going to spend that much money on all those flowers during your ceremony, try to throw them on the cake table or somewhere else.
I've had a few like arches upstairs and have this kind of floral garland on the arch. And then the florist and the planner work together so that after the ceremony, the planner could just cut it right off. And then she goes and lays it across the head table.
I mean, I carry it down like a boa constrictor with flowers.
Everybody out of the way kind of thing. But it's really smart. And again, kind of what I like when people do something different in here is, I mean, people say if you've seen on Pinterest, it's already been done, right?
I know. It's hard.
It's
to
really
ever have
hard
an original
to be
idea.
Creative. But there's just little ways to skip out on something that's kind of small or traditional that actually costs a lot of money that nobody notices for something that's kind of a wow factor. I didn't know you could have that at a wedding.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Those are always way more fun. For me, for your guests, right? Because it's something different that they haven't seen because they've been in 15 other weddings and they know what's expected. And then it's awesome for your vendors.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we love a twist on the traditional. So my last question to wrap it up, let's say you're speaking as all vendor owners across the country.
Venue owners who
own their own venue and are from start to finish, you have a hand in this. What do you want couples to know? Like, follow the rules.
Oh my gosh.
Don't be a jerk. Don't have sex in the wedding suite.
Honestly, if a venue owner is worth their salt, they have a really good contract. Read the contract.
Very good.
Everything is laid out in that contract. It'll answer every question you have.
And if the contract is like bare bones, not answering your questions, maybe
try to either find another place or go back.
Get something in writing.
Look at the kind of important parts and say, can we add this? And I have people do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this. What does this mean? Can we add this? Can we change this? And yes or no, depending on what they're asking. But I think a good contract makes all the difference for both. We're protecting both you and us. And read it.
Yes, so that the day before you're not like, oh shit, we needed insurance. Yeah, we didn't know.
Right. Well, it was in your contract. And you don't like that. And I'm not dumb. I know a lot of people ask a question knowing what it says in the contract just to see if I'll give you some wiggle room. And it just...
If you took the time to put it in
the contract for a reason.
Right.
Like I just added a children policy to my contract.
Oh, like watch your children. Like, don't let your children run amok.
They have to be supervised because I had kids running in the parking lot and in the street, and if something happens to them,
on the train tracks.
Right. Something happens to them, you're going to get mad at me.
Yeah, or like sue you, and
it's in the contract.
Yeah. So contracts
in the contract.
We talk about that a lot. Yes, it does. It's such a good point that it protects all parties.
So that's kind of a big, and be nice. Being nice gets you so much further than being an asshole and I think everybody in this industry, every vendor wants to please you. We are an industry of people pleasers.
Yeah.
But if you're a jerk, now it is by the book.
Yeah, it is.
You get no leeway.
Right.
So sorry.
And it's a small community as much as it's like inundated, I feel like, with planners especially. But everybody talks to everybody else.
Not
that we have like giant meetings where we're like, what about that bride and groom? They were horrible. But it's a one-time event. So, I can't be like, I'm never working with that couple again.
That's
like,
so true.
Because, of course, I'm never working with you again. Your wedding is over. But it's the reviews of, like, I like it when I get nice reviews. It's helpful. But there's something to be said for ending a business transaction and for both people just, like, giving each other a hug and being like, that was
so
great between both of us.
I mean, I've gotten people come back and they'll say something like, I wasn't pleased with XYZ. Well, I'll either outline it because it was on the venue, or I'll outline it because it was on the client.
Right.
It
but
wasn't
you do
on
respond.
Me. I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, I respond. And honestly, at the end, if it's not costing me a lot of money, anything to leave you with a good taste in your mouth is so much better than,
going to bed at night thinking like what are they going to do?
Right. I mean, if it's $100,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. It's
the contract and being nice is just a kind of a big, they're the big kind of things. And a good contract goes a long way for both of them.
I think so
both
too.
Both the client and the vendor.
Yes, and like we said earlier, Lindsay responds to emails and gives out, her number and lets people ask questions. So life happens. If you don't hear from somebody for a couple of days, maybe if you really like them, try again. But like, fool you once, like by the next time that they just do not get back to you, find another vendor or another venue. So it goes both ways. I guess that's it.
Thank you so much.
If y'all have any questions for us, email me and I'll pass them on to Lindsay and then we can answer them on our social media stuff.
Perfect.
Now I'm going to do my little outro, but thank you again.
You're so welcome.
And you guys can hit us up on Twitter, TBWP Podcast, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com, Instagram, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, hashtag plan that wedding, and download from iTunes. Leave us a review if you have time, and consider becoming a patron, because that helps Michelle and I so much to keep doing this and to keep driving around and interviewing awesome people who want to share their wisdom. So until next time.